ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट 65 दिव्यांबरस्रन्मणिभिः परार्ध्यैरपि भूषणे दिव्यगंधान लेपैश्च महत्योत्पलमालया। देशन ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय द सर्वेंट्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन Kaliya worshipped the Lord of the universe by offering him fine garments along with necklaces, jewels and other valuable ornaments, wonderful scents and ointments and a large garland of lotus flowers. Having thus pleased the Lord, whose flag is marked with the emblem of Garuda, Kaliya felt satisfied. Receiving the Lord's permission to leave, Kaliya circumambulated him and offered him obeisances. Then, taking his wives, friends and children, he went to his island in the sea. The very moment Kaliya left, the Yamuna was immediately restored to her original condition, free from poison and full of nectarian water. This happened by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was manifesting a human-like form to enjoy his pastimes. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented extensively on this verse. To explain the word Manibhi, Kaliya worshipped the Lord with jewels, the Acharya has quoted from the Sri Radha Krishna Gano Desha Deepika by Rupa Goswami as follows. Kaustubhakyo Manirena Pravishyardham Auragam Kaliya Preyasi Vrinda Hastir Atmo Paharita. The Lord had made his Kausala gem enter the serpent's lake, and then he arranged for it to be presented to himself by the hands of Kaliya's wives. In other words, because Lord Krishna wanted to act just like an ordinary human being, he made the transcendental Kaustubha gem invisible and caused it to enter within Kaliya's treasury. Then, when the appropriate moment came for Kaliya to worship the Lord with many different jewels and ornaments, the serpent's wives, unaware of the Lord's transcendental trick, presented him with the Kaustubha gem, thinking it was simply one of the jewels in their possession. The Acharya has further commented that the reason Lord Krishna is described in this verse as Garuda Dhaja, he whose flag is marked by the symbol of his carrier Garuda, is that Kaliya also desired to become Lord Krishna's carrier. Garuda and the serpents are originally related as brothers, and therefore Kaliya wanted to indicate to Lord Krishna, if you ever have to go to a distant place, you should also think of me as your personal carrier. I am the servant of your servant, and in the wink of an eye, I can travel hundreds of millions of yojanas. Thus the Puranas narrate that in the course of Lord Krishna's eternal cycle of pastimes, when Kamsa orders the Lord to come to Mathura, he sometimes goes there mounted upon Kaliya. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 16th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Krishna Chastises the Serpent Kaliya. So we are coming to the conclusion of this particular pastime of Krishna Chastises the Serpent Kaliya. I beg for the blessings of all the devotees, especially the senior devotees. Before I start speaking something, so our acharyas, Rupa Goswami, he mentions that rati or love in the highest category it can be divided into three, that is sadharani, samanjasa and samartha. Now Sadharani Rati is an example of a devotee who exhibits Sadharani Rati's Kubja. And the example of devotees who exhibit Samanjasa Rati are the married queens of Dwarka, headed by Rukmini, and the devotees who exhibit Samartha Rati. The examples are the gopis headed by Srimati Radharani. So Samartha Rati is the climax, the highest epitome of love for Krishna. And when Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura, Srimati Radharani, in her intense separation from Krishna, in love, she composed a verse came from her heart, and that is Ai Dina Dayadra Natahe Mathura Nath Kadavya Lokyase Hridayam Tad Aloka Kataram Daita Brahmyati Kim Karomyaham. Translation goes, O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? So this particular verse, it's familiar. This was the verse which Srila Madhavendra Puri recited again and again just before he departed from this world. It's considered to be the best amongst the Kavyas, the highest epitome of Kavya. Now it's interesting that Srila Rupa Goswami in Ujjwala Nilmani, he compares Samartha Rati to the Kaustubha gem. And again Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he compares this particular verse, Ai Dina Dayadra Natahe, to the Kaustubha gem. So the highest epitome of love is compared to the Kaustubha gem, and the highest Kavya that springs when one is situated on that level of love, that is also compared to the Kaustubha gem. So applying reverse logic, we can just understand what is the position of the Kaustubha gem. How transcendental, precious, and rare it is. Now towards the end of this Kalya pastime, we come to know what Krishna did with this Kaustubha gem. Now Rupa Goswami, he's been quoted from Sri Radha Krishna Ganodesha Deepika. Now what does he say? He says, he gives an interesting insight of what happened during the Kalya Mardhan pastime. That when Krishna was within the coils of Kalya and he was apparently struggling within the coils of Kalya, he secretly allowed his Kaustubha gem to drop and slip into Kalya's treasury. And then when the whole pastime took place, Kalya was subdued. Then the wives of the Kalyas offered their prayers to Krishna, and Krishna benedicted Kalya and asked Kalya to leave the place. And just before leaving, Kalya wants to offer some worship to Krishna. And in course of that worship, the Nagapatnis, they are offering so many jewels to Krishna. And amongst these jewels that they offer, they also offer the Kaustubha gem. So Krishna enacted this beautiful pastime so that the Nagapatnis got an opportunity to offer the Kaustubha gem to him. Now if we meditate on what Krishna did, it's actually very sweet. He actually shared very intimate loving exchanges with the Nagapatnis. Very intimate. Now, to understand this point, let's analyze. Now, what is the satisfaction of a devotee? The satisfaction of a devotee is when Krishna accepts his service, accepts his or her service. That is the satisfaction of a devotee. Because a devotee wants to serve Krishna. And when Krishna accepts his service or her service, the devotee is satisfied. That is his satisfaction. For example, during the Mahaprakash Leela, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat on the throne of Vishnu and he started accepting all the offering of his devotees. The description goes, gallons of water, you know, tons of rice and so many things and so many bananas. And all of their stock was exhausted. And Mahaprabhu is still saying, I want more, I want more. So when I used to hear this pastime, I used to wonder, you know, all the stock is exhausted. Now Mahaprabhu, he should understand, he's giving trouble to his devotees now. So he should become satisfied now. Why is he asking for more? Now the devotees have to go out of their way, go to neighboring villages, get all the bhoga and again offer it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But that is mundane logic. The devotees were in ecstasy. When Mahaprabhu said, I want more, I want more, the devotees were in ecstasy. They wanted to give more and more and more and more. So they started going out of their way, started getting more water, you know, getting more fruits, more bhoga to offer it to the Lord. They're feeling more satisfied when the Lord was accepting their service. I remember when I was doing flower seva, I used to bring flowers from the market, Dadar market. So early in the morning you go and get flowers. It's quite an austere service. You have to go and then so much of crowd and all the people there are using so many abusive words. And then somehow you have to maintain your consciousness that I am doing it for Krishna, somehow. No, I have to do it in a happy mood. But it's very difficult. Somehow you're not in a very good mood while doing that service. At least I never found myself in that way. Maybe someone like Nityanand Charan Prabhu will be in a very good mood. So it was such a tedious, austere exercise and by the end of the service, there was a guilt, you know. Now, what kind of consciousness was I in while doing this service? But then there was a nice part to it. What is that? We are asked to bring some decorative flowers along with all the other flowers which used to be directly used for decorating the deities on the very same day. So the satisfaction would be when the curtain opened, I used to look, where is Gopinath wearing the flower which I brought just now? And then when I see, okay, he's wearing it on his turban, okay, it's here, there. And then there is satisfaction. Okay, even though I didn't do the service in a very nice mood, Krishna has accepted my service. So that was like a compensation. Okay, the Lord has accepted my service. That is the satisfaction of a devotee, when the Lord accepts the service. And that's the reason the acharyas, they again and again try to convince us, yes, the Lord is always accepting our service. Because unless we are convinced that the Lord is accepting our service, there is no encouragement to render more service. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. Now why is this verse quoted again and again? Just to exemplify the Lord's magnanimity. It doesn't matter whatever you offer, even though it is insignificant, the Lord will accept it, don't worry. And then there is that verse which says that, what is that verse? Papa yonayaha sriyo vaishyas mahi partha vyapashritya api su papa yonaya, which indicates that it doesn't matter who is rendering service, the Lord will accept that service. So it doesn't matter what you offer to the Lord and it doesn't matter who is offering to the Lord. The Lord is so magnanimous, so wonderful. Krishna is so broad-minded and large-hearted that he accepts the service of anyone and any service. And when we hear that, we feel satisfied and we feel encouraged on the path of devotional service. In the early days of ISKCON, one very nice incident happened. Srila Prabhupada was giving his lecture in 22nd Avenue. And when the lecture was going on, a drunkard, he entered, and then he went entered the washroom, and then he went out. And after a while, he brought some tissue papers and placed them in the washroom. So all the other people who were sitting and hearing the Prabhupada's lecture, they are feeling what a disturbance in one sense, isn't it? Class is going on, everyone is absorbed in hearing, and someone just enters. For example, if something like that happens now, someone just enters and does something and goes. It's like a kind of a disturbance. So everyone was feeling, you know, what a kind of disturbance, someone is coming, and that too, he was a drunkard. He was not in order. But Prabhupada said, just see, this person is not in order, but he has rendered some service. So Prabhupada accepted that service. And when the other people sitting there heard that, they felt great. You know, Swamiji is accepting the service, this insignificant service of this person who is not even in order. And they were all encouraged on the path of devotional service. So that is what the Shastras say, and that is what the Acharyas say. That Krishna, he is always accepting our service. Regardless of who is offering it and what we are offering. And when the devotees understand that Krishna is accepting their service, they become greatly satisfied. That is the satisfaction of the devotee. Some time ago, I think it was last year, generally nowadays, you know, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, as soon as you offer a garland to him, he takes it off. He doesn't keep it for long. But last year, on one particular day, a garland was offered to him. And he didn't remove it. He sang Jai Radha Madhav. Jai Radha Madhav was over. Shloka was recited. Purport was read. He was still wearing the garland. And throughout the entire class, he was wearing the garland. Because it was a Kadamba garland. Keli Kadamba. And for many hours, it is said that he kept the garland on. So the devotees who plucked the Kadamba flowers, the devotees who made the garland, the devotee who put the garland, all were so satisfied. And what happened? They were also encouraged for the next few days, all Kadamba garlands. Daily Kadamba garlands. Devotees are hunting for Kadamba flowers. Somehow get the Kadamba flowers, make the garland. And within those days only, he left India. And there was one garland in the morning, the day he left. One garland in the evening. One garland at the gate. One garland at the airport. So many garlands. Why devotees, they were overjoyed that Maharaj is wearing the garland for so long. They felt satisfied. So Maharaj wore the garland for a few hours. Just imagine, now the Nagapatnis, they don't know that the Kaustubha gem originally belonged to Krishna only. From their perception, they are taking an ornament from their treasury, the Kaustubha gem, and they are offering it to Krishna. And now Krishna is wearing it, not for a few hours, not for a few days, not for a few years, but for the rest of eternity. What kind of a satisfaction is that for the Nagapatnis? That was a reciprocation of Krishna with the Nagapatnis when he enacted this wonderful pastime of dropping the Kaustubha gem. And what kind of a jewel they offered to Krishna? Now, it is said that in the Vaikuntha planets, the Kaustubha gem is the identity of Narayan. Sarve Vaikuntha Murtaya. Everyone in Vaikuntha has four hands. They all look alike. Like many times, even I used to get confused. When I first came to ISKCON, everyone looks the same. All the brahmacharis, they look the same. But then, you know, a sannyasi, there are certain characteristics by which you understand is different. So similarly, what is that thing which separates Narayan from the rest? It's the Kaustubha gem. And it was given by the Nagapatnis. And the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam says that the Kaustubha gem represents all living entities. And this Kaustubha gem is so dear to Krishna. There is a story that once Srimati Radharani, she challenged Krishna for a game of dice. And her advisor was Lalita. And Krishna's advisor was Madhumangal. So when the game of dice started, Krishna lost his Kaustubha gem. So Krishna was so disturbed. And it is said he found consolation only when he found that Kaustubha gem around Radharani's neck. That was the only thing that pacified him. Okay, even though I have lost it, it is with Radharani. That is how much Krishna loves the Kaustubha gem. And from the Nagapatni's perspective, they offer it to Krishna. So such an intimate exchange of love, Krishna exchanged with the Nagapatnis towards the end of the Kalyamardhan pastime. Now it's very interesting that when did Krishna plan this pastime? When he was within the coils of Kalya. Now what was the scene all around? The Brajvasis were in tremendous distress. You know, there was commotion all over Vrindavan. Commotion all around. Everyone was disturbed. Commotion within the waters. Everywhere, so much of disturbance, and amongst this disturbance, Krishna is masterminding such a sweet pastime. That's why he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the midst of apparent crisis, he's planning a beautiful leela. Now, from the perspective of the Nagapatnis, if we see their life from, you know, if we analyze their life, it wasn't very nice in one sense, isn't it? In the sense that their husband wasn't a devotee. You know, to live with a person who loved to assassin people, you know, who was like a mafia. And they were soft-hearted, pure devotees, the Nagapatnis. They were soft-hearted, pure devotees. And such soft-hearted, pure devotees were seeing, you know, animals being killed, birds dropping dead every now and then. No. It was a lot of anguish for them. And then the culmination of their anguish was when Kalia, he caught Krishna within his coils. Now, they were soft-hearted devotees, they are feeling very bad when other living entities were killed also. But now their husband, their cruel husband, is trying to kill the very object of their love, that is Krishna. How much anguish they are facing at that particular point of time. So, the Nagapatnis were experiencing a lot of anguish, and at the pinnacle of their anguish, that is when Krishna was within the coils of Kalia, Krishna is planning how to reciprocate very sweetly with the Nagapatnis. So the Nagapatnis, they have been facing a lot of miseries throughout, and this is the pinnacle of their misery. And they're experiencing the misery, but meanwhile, Krishna, without their knowledge, is planning a beautiful leela to reciprocate wonderfully with their beautiful devotional service. So this point I felt was very hope-giving for the sadhakas, because in the process of sadhana bhakti, so much troubles, so much miseries, so many problems, so much of anguish, and so much of suffering being in the material world. But the acharyas assure us that if we remain faithful, even though we might be facing miseries and problems, apparent calamities, if we remain faithful, the acharyas say that Krishna is planning. Krishna is planning already. It has not yet manifest. He is already planning to reciprocate with us in a very wonderful way in the very near future. Just like he did with the Nagapatnis. The Nagapatnis were in misery. And even when they were in the miseries, without their knowledge, Krishna was planning a sweet reciprocation with all of them. But the material intelligence often fails to understand this. And the material intelligence just sees the misery and doesn't see that Krishna is actually planning for reciprocation. The story of Bali Maharaj. If you see the story of Bali Maharaj, when Bali Maharaj promised Vamandev that I'll give you 3 steps of land, immediately Shukracharya, he intervened. And in a series of shlokas, he accurately predicts what is going to happen. Amazing! What intelligence! Tremendous intelligence, Shukracharya. He's predicting what is going to happen. He's telling Bali, you are promising 3 steps of land. This is Vishnu. He will increase in size. And in 2 steps, he will cover all the planetary systems. And then 3rd step, you won't be able to give him the 3rd step. And because you won't be able to give the 3rd step, you will have to go to hell. Accurately, he predicted. Amazing! Even before anything happened, Vamandev was still small. Very small. But Shukracharya had the intelligence to see beyond. And he saw that this person is Vishnu, and he will increase in size. He will cover all the 3 planetary systems in 2 steps, and the 3rd step, Bali Maharaj won't be able to provide, and he'll be forced to go to hell. But then that was his material intelligence. So it stopped at that. He was accurate till that point of time. He was accurate. Absolutely accurate. Now, when Bali Maharaj, he didn't heed to the warning of Shukracharya, and he gave the 3 steps of land. And exactly the same things happened. Exactly what Shukracharya predicted happened. So Bali Maharaj, if you are simply guided by the material intelligence of Shukracharya, he would have felt, just see, exactly the same things are happening. But he had spiritual intelligence by which he exhibited the determination that no, even though the Lord is doing all these things with me, he's going to reciprocate with me in a very nice way in the future. That was his spiritual intelligence. Through material intelligence, it saw only till the point when the Lord took away everything. But because Bali Maharaj had spiritual intelligence, he didn't give up. Even when Vamandev took everything and apparently arrested Bali Maharaj and told him that you are going to go to hellish planets for having broken your promise. And we see the spiritual intelligence of Bali Maharaj proved right. How wonderfully did Vamandev reciprocate with Bali Maharaj. Prabhupada says in the purport that generally a person, he becomes famous when he becomes very rich, when he becomes very aristocratic. Has anyone become famous by becoming a pauper? No, but Bali Maharaj, he became so famous by losing everything. That is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And Vamandev gave the opportunity to Bali Maharaj to offer service in Atma Nivedanam. Now Rupa Goswami, he says in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that of the 9 processes of devotional service, Sakhyam and Atma Nivedanam are the hardest. So Vamandev gave an opportunity to Bali Maharaj to offer service in Atma Nivedanam. That was his reciprocation. And then even materially speaking, Bali Maharaj was offered residence in Sutala planet, which is considered to be more opulent than even the heavens. And we cannot even imagine this, that Vamandev agreed to become the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj in the Sutala planets. So the reciprocation of Vamandev to Bali Maharaj was tremendous. So the scriptures and the acharyas, they urge us to develop this spiritual intelligence of Bali Maharaj, by which we understand. Prabhupada says that Krishna, he reciprocates with his devotees beyond their expectations. Beyond their expectations. It is always the case. Krishna reciprocates with his devotees beyond their expectation, Prabhupada says. And the acharyas and the scriptures, they urge us to develop this spiritual intelligence by which we understand this principle. And we continue with our service despite apparent obstacles, calamities and problems. Just like the Nagapatni street. The Nagapatnis, they underwent so much of suffering. But still they continued their devotional service. And towards the end, Krishna reciprocated with them in such a sweet way. Similarly, the spiritual masters. Burijan Prabhu, he gives a very nice story. Now, Burijan Prabhu, when he went to Hong Kong, this was in 1972. So, Jagatarini Mataji, his to-be wife, she was not married at that time. So, her name was Jani, she was an Australian actress. So, she happened to be, you know, she had just acted in a film in Australia. And then she was traveling and she came to New York. And she came in contact with devotees in New York. And then she decided to become a devotee there. And then, you know, she was sent to Hong Kong to marry. She didn't know whom she was going to marry. She was an Australian actress. And here, you know, she was told that someone is waiting for you in Hong Kong. You go and get married there. She didn't even know whom she was getting married to. But she was exhibiting that level of surrender. So she went. A young, successful woman. So she traveled to Hong Kong to meet her to-be husband. And then even Burijan Prabhu didn't know he was going to get married. He was in Hong Kong. And his authorities said that someone is going to get come here and you should get married to her. And then they get married in Hong Kong. And they start preaching in Hong Kong. And it was very tough for them. Hong Kong was a very tough place for preaching. Burijan Prabhu says it was a very tough place for preaching. And they were going through a lot of problems, preaching together. And then Burijan Prabhu, in his book, My Glorious Master, he says that later on he heard from Shubhag Maharaj, when very nice exchange he had with Prabhupada. Shubhag Maharaj was in London and he was sitting with Prabhupada. Shubhag Maharaj had newly joined the movement and he was sitting with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was sitting meditating, very thoughtful, with closed eyes. And Shubhag Maharaj was watching Prabhupada, and suddenly tears glided down Prabhupada's cheeks. And Shubhag Maharaj, he didn't know what to make out of it. So he waited for some time, and after some time he asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, what were you thinking? What made you cry?" So Prabhupada said that, "I am thinking about the sacrifice of my two disciples who have given up everything for my sake and who are now preaching in Hong Kong." And Prabhupada was in London sitting and crying. So that is how the spiritual mastery is also, that he's always grateful, and the reciprocation comes in very sweet ways beyond our expectations. So, and when we develop this faith in Krishna's reciprocation, that Krishna is Achyuta, he never fails in his affection for his devotees. When you develop that faith, that is very pleasing to the Lord. For example, we see in the story of Shrivas Thakur. Now Shrivas Thakur, he clapped 3 times. And Mahaprabhu didn't understand. You know, Mahaprabhu asked, you know, "Shrivas, you got a family, you know, you're not working. How will you maintain your family? How will you maintain yourself?" So Shrivas clapped 3 times. Mahaprabhu said, "What is this clapping? I cannot understand. Please explain." So Shrivas Thakur said, "I have full faith that Krishna will provide for my maintenance. When I clap 3 times, if Krishna doesn't provide me what I need, then I'll go and drown myself in the Ganges." So that was Shrivas Thakur's firm conviction that Krishna will maintain me. He'll provide for my maintenance. I'm sure Krishna and Prabhu will elaborate on this tomorrow. So, hearing that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. Hearing the faith of Shrivas Thakur. Seeing the faith of Shrivas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. And it's like a child, you know, if a child goes to his parents and asks the parents, "Will you protect me? Will you provide for me? Will you provide me food tomorrow? Will you provide me food day after tomorrow? Will you protect me tomorrow? Will you protect me day after tomorrow? Will you throw me out of the house tomorrow?" You know, the parents will feel hurt, you know. He doesn't even have so much of trust and faith that I'll protect and I'll maintain him, that I'll reciprocate. But when the child exhibits his confidence in his parents, it pleases the parents. Similarly is the case with the Lord. The Lord has declared, "Kaunteya pratijani name bhakta pranashiti." So, the acharyas repeatedly throughout the shastras, they urge us they tell us that we should strive to develop this faith, this conviction in the Lord's protection, His maintenance and His love and His affection. To develop faith in the Lord's affection, develop faith in the Lord's protection, and develop faith in the Lord's maintenance. And when we do that, that is very, very much pleasing to the Lord. And the Lord, in due course of time, indeed reciprocates the Shastras and the Acharyas say. And we see that happening here towards the end of this particular pastime of Kalyamarthan. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.